So, two scriptures for this morning. First is Luke 8. No one, after lighting a lamp, hides it under a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a lampstand, so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be disclosed, nor is anything secret that will not become known and come to light. Then pay attention to how you listen. For those who have, more will be given, and from those who do not have, even what they seem to have will be taken away. Second passage is this one from Mark 11, a very curious passage of Jesus and his interaction with a fig tree. Verse 12. On that following day when they came to Bethany, Jesus was hungry, and seeing in the distance a fig tree and leaf, he went to see whether perhaps he could find anything on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. He said to it, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples heard it. Later, Jesus and the disciples are there, and they see that the fig tree is withered up. The curious part of this passage, as Jesus is walking along, he's hungry, and he seems to be mad at this fig tree. But because he's Jesus, he doesn't just kick it because there's no figs. He curses it so that it will never produce figs again. Now, what Mark is clear to point out is, it's not the season for figs. So if the fig tree had a brain, or who knows what fig tree, if a fig tree thought, it would be going, "Oh, come on. What do you expect from me? It's not the season for figs. No fig tree can produce figs this time of year, and yet you're mad at me." Keep that thought in your brain. And we're going to get there. But first, I want to take you to Greece. There's a book that's I've been studying a little bit lately. It's called The Coddling of the American Mind. And these two professors have looked at what's going on in colleges and places of higher education, as well as culturally, and how we are training the youth and children of the day to be able to go into the world. And where they say the challenge is to prepare the child for the road, we keep trying to shape the road for the child. And the way they introduce it is with a story. So they go to Greece because they're going to write a book on wisdom. And they hear, because Greece being the place of the origin of Western wisdom and philosophy, they thought they would go there. And so they travel up near where Mount Olympus is supposed to be, and they hike high in the hills to where there's this wise man. And so they're going there toward the wise man. And they find that as they get there, there's this big place carved out in this, or inside this cave, and a setup, and there's a whole lot of people there, and it's a deli style, take a number. And so they have to take a number, and they take a number, and they wait their turn, and then there's this little ritual they have to go through, and then they have to get in, and then finally it's their turn, and they get to go in to this dimly lit chamber in the back of the cave. There's a small spring of water bubbling from a rock. And next is the sage Mesopotamos in a lounger chair that appears to be a Barco liner recliner from the 1970s. Now, they were surprised that he spoke English, and even more so that he had a southern accent. "Hey, how y'all doing?" "Well, we're good." "Well, y'all come on in. So, you got a question for me?" "Yes. Can you give us three axioms, three little principles on wisdom? We want to know what you've learned about wisdom so that we can share it. We're writing a book, and we thought if you could give us three things on wisdom and the secret to life, it would help us." So he said, "Okay." He said, "The first one is this: what doesn't kill you makes you weaker. So avoid pain and avoid discomfort and avoid all potentially bad experiences." Well, these two professors were a little bit disturbed because that's very contrary to the philosophy they had been teaching, which is what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. But here he's going, what doesn't kill you makes you weaker. So avoid all pain, avoid all suffering. They said, "Wait a minute, isn't it stronger? What doesn't kill you makes you stronger?" So Mesopotamos thinks for a minute, he squeezes his eyes shut, and as he thinks about it, and he opens his eyes and says, "Nah, I'm right. Weaker's what I'm in. Bad experiences are terrible. Who wants one? Did you travel all this way to have a bad experience? Of course not. And pain? Ah, so many of the oracles in this mountain sit on the ground 12 hours a day. What does it get them? Circulation problems and lower back pain issues. They're all going to chiropractors. I sit here in my Barca lounger. I have somebody bring me something to drink. This is pretty fun. Why in the world would you want that kind of pain? That's why I got this chair 20 years ago, so I could be comfortable. Who doesn't want to be comfortable? I'm sorry. He said, hey, let me finish. So I said, okay. Second, always trust your feelings. Never question them. Well, one of them had written a book called The Happiness Hypothesis, which was actually the opposite of that. That you need to question your feelings if you want to be happy, because your feelings can lead you down some wrong paths. And he said, hey, what about this? He said, hey, listen to me. Third, life is a battle between good people and evil people. Well, the professors, they looked at each other and they said, could you explain it? He said, yeah, some people are good and some people are bad. He said, there's so much evil in the world, where does it come from? Well, it's got to come from evil people. So it's up to you and the rest of the good people in the world to fight the evil people. You got to be warriors for virtue and goodness. You can see how bad wrong people are. So you got to call them out. Tell them how terrible they are. That's how they get better. Assemble a coalition of good people and then go and tell the evil people how bad they are. That's how the world will get better. Time out, they said. Don't the bad people think we're the bad people? What do they know? Well, they left very disappointed. And so they got together and they worked to write this book to counteract what they think are these three messages, not just coming from the oracle, but coming from what we give to each other, and especially how we've raised up youth in this day and age and this current culture. So let's think about it. Let's think about these scriptures. No one, after lighting a lamp, hides it under a jar. That's not what lamps are for. Fig trees are for producing figs. So why curse it when it's not the season for figs? Well, Jesus really isn't concerned about fig trees. He's concerned about people. And we make up a lot of excuses for why we don't do what we're supposed to do. Fig tree can use a season as an excuse, but we don't get to have those excuses. No matter what. You're supposed to love God and love your neighbor no matter what. I want to write a book. Right now I just saved the website, but that's all I've got. But it's called Live Regardless. Love regardless. Let your light shine regardless. You see, it's not the season for figs. That's why the fig tree's not producing. However, for us, we should be producing. We should be bearing fruit, is the image that Paul later uses. The fruits of the Spirit are like this. You need to be doing these things all the time, regardless of what else is going on. You are not limited by wind or rain or season. And what we are telling each other is that avoid suffering. Avoid the winter. Avoid the cold days. And we lose our purpose. And it's as silly as it is with those skits, the improv that we did. Poking holes in an umbrella, you don't get what the umbrella's for. Taking the tires off the car, you don't get what the car's for. All those things, letting the air out of your balloon, especially if you're up in the air, you really don't get it, but it really won't matter. That's evolution. Just weed those people out. Understand what it's for. Understand what you're for. After Jesus does this, he goes and cleanses the temple because the temple is not living up to what it's for. So let's think about those untruths really quick. The untruth of being fragile. There are some things that need suffering or need challenge to be able to be healthy. The bones in your leg, if they're not having constant impact, they become fragile and break easily. When people go out into space, if they don't have activity, the bones become brittle. You have to have constant suffering or struggling for your bones to be healthy. And that's true with the body. Exercise really is putting stress on your body that it can wound and heal from, but heal stronger than it was. That's how your body works. That's how your soul works. It is from the challenges that you face that makes you better. And as parents, we have done a dangerous thing because we become so anxious about what happens to our kids that we're keeping them from struggling. And when you want to avoid all pain, and it really isn't about our kids having pain, it's about us not wanting to feel hurt because we don't want to see our kids hurt. But if we grow up, then we can relax a little bit. I did do a little research on peanut allergies. That was a Megan and I thing. We were talking about it, and I found out that the reason we have so many peanut allergies now is because people were afraid of people having peanut allergies, so they kept pregnant women from eating peanuts. And what they found is that if they gave peanuts to babies in powder, not extremely, I mean monitoring them, not just throwing a bushel, but then they built a resistance. But because we're afraid of people having peanut allergies, we've created a lot of peanut allergies. Now, if you have a peanut allergy, don't try and change that now. But it is that sense of fear. We call them helicopter parents that were always hovering over their kids. Now we don't have helicopter parents. We have lawnmower parents. Just so afraid. Think about it. From when was the first time you were allowed to just go out and play in your neighborhood on your own? I'm not sure I could walk. We'll be back. My mother grew up in the Depression, so when I learned to ride a bike, I didn't get training wheels because she said, you're not going to need to use them long. My legs were bleeding all over the place. You're not hurt. If you yell at a kid for climbing a tree, the kid's probably going to get scared and fall, so you have to be careful. If you're always afraid, and we grew up with that before what happened was cable television told us that kids were being kidnapped all over. But chances are the most dangerous people to your children are people that you know and they're related to. Uncle Bobby that gives you the creeps, that's the one you should probably watch out for. I'm just saying. Until we become so afraid that we pass it on. Kids today now use the word anxiety where we didn't know what that meant. Kids today use the word depression. Well, we didn't know what that meant. We were sad, but we knew why. We were afraid, but we knew why. Keeping suffering or struggle out of the equation doesn't help us to reach that potential that we're called to do. I forgot what the other two were. The untruth of emotional reasonings. Always trust your feelings. And watch the news. I swear it drives me crazy. Once we went to 24-hour news cycles, the news today is about what somebody feels about something. Well, how do you feel about this trade war with China? I remember after 9/11, and I was so puzzled. I watched the news, and they were down on the street. Well, how do you feel? What do you feel this is caused by? I didn't care what they felt. But think about it, when what somebody tweets and how they feel about something is the news, that's not really news. And I'll tell you, that's just a way you sort through this. If it begins with, here's how somebody feels, that's fake news. That's fake news. Whether it's the president or the guy on the street, it's fake news. Because how we feel about something really isn't that big a deal. Emotions should tell us what's going on with us, not what's going on with the world. And if you think about it, and the way to sort of deal with this is there are really only three feelings: positive, neutral, and negative. Emotions are different. Emotions tell you where you have a need, what's missing in your life, but really feelings are your orientation to the world. It's not something that you should just feel automatically. It's something you're going to choose. And for all of those people who just started college, what we tried to say was how you feel about this experience will shape it. It's not what it is, it's your vision that will shape that reality. So if you're going to pick, being upset about something and being excited about something takes the same amount of energy. You might as well pick the excited path, just because it'll make it easier for the rest of us to get along with you. The third untruth was there's a battle between good people and evil people. And the way you know that's not right is because whoever's talking always sees themselves as the good people. We're sinners all. We're learners all. But we all have a purpose to do. And when we think our purpose is done by being the right ones so that the other people, and we can tell them how wrong they are, we've lost our purpose. Because it is up to us to live and love regardless. And that's where we need to do. Sure, it's fun to have college football where you can dress up in your us and you know who them are, but let's leave that as the game and this as the calling. And so I'm going to bring back something that was on the bulletin last week, and I'm going to ask our readers to come up and stand somewhere near the mic and share with you that it's our job to let our light shine anyway or regardless.
People are illogical, unreasonable, and self-centered.
Love them anyway.
If you do good, people will accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives.
Do good anyway.
If you are successful, you will win false friends and true enemies.
Succeed anyway.
The good you do today will be forgotten tomorrow.
Do good anyway.
Honesty and frankness make you vulnerable.
Be honest and frank anyway.
The biggest men and women with the biggest ideas can be shot down by the smallest men and women with the smallest minds.
Think big anyway.
People favor underdogs but follow only top dogs.
Fight for a few underdogs anyway.
What you spend years building may be destroyed overnight.
Build anyway.
People really need help, but may attack you if you do help them.
Help people anyway.
Give the world the best you have, and you'll get kicked in the teeth.
Give the world the best you have anyway.
This is your choice, to do it anyway. So whatever you think, the other way, choose. And when it all comes down to it, the right choice is always love. That was the
Love is my decision. It's up to me to give of my heart.
Love is my decision.
No one else can tell me to start. And once I decide to change my mind, God will show me how.
Love is my decision. My decision right here and now.
Love is my decision. It's up to me to stand on that bridge.
Love is my decision.
No one else can make me forgive, and once I decide to change my mind, God will show me how.
Love is my decision. My decision right here and now.
Love is my decision. It's up to me to dance down the road. Love is my decision.
No one else can lighten my load, and once I decide to change my mind, God will show me how.
Love is my decision. My decision right here and now.